You're listening to the Hope United podcast, creating an atmosphere of worship, family, and discipleship. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit hopeunited.church.
So welcome. Today I want to preach to you out of the book of Exodus. If you have your Bible, you can find Exodus. How many believe that God has taken you from one place and bringing you to another place? Amen. He's taking you from one place and he's bringing you to a better place. In this season, he's taking you out of some tough stuff that you're going through into some good stuff. And I was looking at this kind of story of Moses, and there's so much that we can take from it. It was not an easy time. It was not a kind moment in history for the people of Israel. There was injustice. There was prejudice. There was fear. There was racism. There were things that, you know, Moses had to go through that, you know, we can learn from. But I want to tell you this. When God wants to do a thing, it doesn't matter what the devil's doing. When God wants to do a thing, it doesn't matter what the devil wants to do. I want to talk to you. This name of the sermon is going to be The Fight of Your Life. The Fight of Your Life. Because it doesn't matter what the devil is doing when the God wants to do a thing in your life. Exodus 1:8 kind of sets the backdrop for Moses' life. It says, eventually a king came to power in Egypt who knew nothing about Joseph or what he had done. He said to his people, look, the people of Israel now outnumber us and are stronger than we are. We must make a plan to keep them from growing even more. If we don't, and if war breaks out, they will join our enemies and fight against us. Then they will escape from the country. So the Egyptians made the Israelites their slaves. They appointed brutal slave drivers over them, hoping to wear them down with crushing labor. They forced them to build the cities of Pithom and Ramses as supply centers for the king. But the more the Egyptians oppressed them, the more the Israelites multiplied and spread. Can I say that again? The more the Egyptians oppressed them, the more the Israelites multiplied and spread. Let me tell you something. The more the enemy tries to oppress you, the more God is going to multiply you and cause your authority and your blessing to spread. Come on, we're just getting started. Let me tell you, God's got some good things prepared for those that love him. And so this alarmed the Egyptians even more. So the Egyptians worked the people of Israel without mercy. They made their lives bitter, forcing them to mix mortar and make bricks and do all the work in the fields. They were ruthless in all their demands. How many been in circumstances where it was just people that were over you, people that you were working with, people that were around you were just difficult to work with? Even ruthless at times. This is part of Moses' story. This is part of Moses' story that we can learn from and say, sometimes there's going to be difficult things. Robert Schuller said, life is not fair, but God is good. There's going to be some things in our life that don't seem fair, that even aren't fair. But God's goodness is going to supersede anything the enemy is doing. How many believe that? That God's goodness is going to supersede anything the enemy is trying to do. The Bible says no weapon formed against you will prosper. It doesn't mean that there won't be a weapon that forms against you. It doesn't mean that there won't be a Goliath staring you down, a giant that's up in your face trying to intimidate you. It just means in the end, you're going to win. See, the devil wants to kill your dream before you even have an opportunity to walk it out. Before the dream is born, he wants to kill the dream. And this is what I wrote down. If you kill the dreamer, you kill the dream. The enemy's strategy, kill the dreamer, kill the dream. Exodus 1:15. Look at this. Then Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, gave this order to the Hebrew midwives, Shiphrah and Puah. We need to name our kids some of these names out of the Old Testament. Shiphrah and Puah. Some of you young mothers coming up, Shiphrah and Puah. Put that in the runnings. When you help the this is what Pharaoh said. When you help the Hebrew women as they give birth, watch as they deliver. If the baby is a boy, kill him. If it's a girl, let her live. Kill the dreamer, kill the dream. Somebody say that with me. Kill the dreamer, kill the dream. You see, there was a dream being born in Israel. There was a destiny being born in Israel. And Pharaoh said, let me kill the dreamer so I can kill the dream. The devil wants to stop you before you even start. He's after your dream. And if he has to kill you to stop that dream, that's exactly what he'll do. The devil is afraid of your dream because a dream is so powerful. It's not something that's easily killed. But if the devil can't kill your dream, he's going to try to touch you. He's going to try to fight you. He's going to try to attack you. He's going to try to distract you. He's going to try to trick you. Because the devil can't stop your dream. He can only stop you. So this is where we have seasons where we get frustrated. The enemy's trying to take away our joy, take away our resolve, take away our fight. Turn to somebody and say, fight. Don't lose your fight. Don't lose your fight. My great-grandfather, he was living in our home, and his vitals started just dropping, and he was later in life, and the doctor said, hey, it's happening. Call in the family. Family came over, started singing worship songs and praising the Lord, and the thing is, he had so much fight in him that he came back alive, and his vitals started to come back. He started to resuscitate because it didn't make natural sense, but he had fight. Turn to somebody and say, I got some fight in me. And we have to protect the dream. I hope you go home and write this on your refrigerator. Protect the dream. Protect the dream. At all costs, you have to protect the dream because the devil's after that thing. He wants to rip it out of your hands, take it out of your hands when you're not looking. Trick you to give it to him. It's the enemy, if he can do anything, he wants you to lay your dream down. When we started doing this renovation and building this church here in Pembroke Pines, the enemy tried to come and steal our joy. And with Pastor Corinne and I, tried to sow seeds of doubt with us, try to take away our confidence. But let me tell you something. When God has given you a dream, when God has given you a vision, you don't let the devil take that. You don't let the devil steal that. When God has spoken something into your heart, when God has given you a promise, you got to have some fight in you. You got to let that thing go. And so when the devil can't get to your dream, he wants to try to get to you, strike a blow to your physical body. How many have experienced that? The devil try to strike a blow to your physical body. Maybe strike a blow to your finances. Amen. Strike a blow to your family. He can't take the dream down, so he tries to take the dreamer out. Frustrate. Kill the morale. Take away your joy. Take away your health. You know what? Don't stop. Don't lay down. It's time to fight, people of God. It's time to fight. It's time to fight. Turn to somebody and say, we got to fight. When the weapon forms against you, when Goliath is on the other hill and he's shouting out taunts, trying to intimidate you, guess what? It's time to fight. Even if you just got 5 smooth stones, it's time to fight. It's time to fight. Our society talks a lot about identity theft. There's people on the TV trying to sell you stuff to guard against identity theft. There's people out there trying to take your identity. You got to be careful where you leave your driver's license, your passport, your bank cards. Thieves out there, right? Trying to steal your identity. But the devil wants to steal your identity too. He's going to come up. But don't let the devil steal your identity. Don't let him steal your identity. Moses had to decide if he was a Hebrew or if he was an Egyptian, because the enemy wanted to steal his identity. He was dressed like an Egyptian. He was raised like an Egyptian. He talked like Egyptian. He walked like an Egyptian. Yeah, he was. But there was something inside of Moses that said, you know what? There's something more. There's something more. There's something more. There's something more. Maybe that's you. You're saying there's something more inside of me than the people around me have recognized. They've tried to tell me one thing. They've seen one thing about me. But there's something I just know. In my spirit, there's more to my identity. So Moses felt different. And he was grappling with this. Am I an Egyptian or am I a Hebrew? The Egyptian part, the world part, it was full of luxury. It was full of comforts. It was easy. The Hebrew, there was an uncertainty there. There was risks involved. Can I tell you, there's one identity. It seems more desirable. It seems more comfortable. It seems easier. Just like Moses. It feels good. It feels good to be in the palace. I don't want to say something to rock the boat and have to leave this comfortable lifestyle. But the other, to know that you have the hand of God on your life and the anointing of God and the favor, are you willing to make a risk and get out here in a place you don't know, that you don't recognize, because you're saying, you know what? It's so important that I have the hand of God on my life. I'm willing to risk losing luxury, losing comfort, losing status to follow what God is doing. Can I tell you this? Anything the enemy has is a shallow, empty, temporary fix for what the real thing that God wants to put on your life. God wants to put his hand, put his blessing, put the satisfaction of your calling and identity on your life. Don't neglect what God has his hand on to pursue what looks favorable in the natural. There's some things that look advantageous. There's some things that look like they're going to pay off. I'm sure when Moses opens his eyes every day and he's living in the palace, these things looked advantageous. It looked like, you know what, I don't need to risk doing something different. How often do Christians walk away from something God has his hand on to pursue something of momentary advantage? Because often we don't have patience. Patience and that quiet strength to pursue what God has his hand on. It took Moses a little while, didn't it, to walk into his purpose. But when he did, is there anything that could be compared with what he had in Egypt to what he received with God's hand? Let me challenge you today. Let me challenge you today. Let me challenge you. True blessing comes out of your identity in God. There's only one person that can reveal your identity to you, and that is God. Nobody else can reveal it to you because nobody knows it but God. It's through God's revelatory power that he shows us who we are. When we are in the presence of God, the word of God, the voice of God reveals who we truly are. Do you see this complacency? It's a destiny thief. I can only imagine what Moses had to go through. He had in the natural everything that he could possibly want. He was a prince of Egypt. And if Egypt wasn't the number one superpower, it was one of the top superpowers of that day. He was a prince in the palace, in the lap of luxury. But here's the question you have to ask yourself. How much would it take for me to sell out my destiny? How much money? What type of job? What type of relationship would it take for me to walk away from the purpose and what God has his hand on? Moses was grappling with that. Look, Moses was asking that of himself. Couldn't you put yourself in Moses' shoes? He's in the palace. He's a prince. There's money in it. He can have whatever wife he wants. Whatever relationship he wants, he can have that. Or he can risk it all to follow God and find his true identity. The enemy wants to give you just enough so that you'll continue to live the lie. To be all right with a shell of who you could be. If I could give you this much money, would you stay? Okay, well, can I give you a little bit more, but let me just give you just enough to keep you from your destiny. This is what Moses was struggling with. Comfort or risk? Comfort or risk? Can you close your eyes for a moment? Just ask yourself, what in my life is comfortable? And what is God asking me to risk? What in my life is comfortable right now? And what is God asking me to risk? You can open your eyes. Should I play it safe? Should I risk it to find out my true identity? You see, his birthright, our birthright, is to rule and reign with him. But if you want to rule and reign, the Bible says you got to what? You got to suffer. There's going to be some things that you got to go through. There was some time in the wilderness. There was some time with stinky animals before he got to actually be the leader of God's people. Are you willing to part with comforts to stretch and reach for your purpose? That's a question to you. That's a question to me. That's a question to us. Are you willing to stretch and reach to fulfill your purpose? Discover your identity. The process to purpose, it's not a comfortable one. It's not going to be easy. When Jesus was stretching out on the cross into his identity, into his purpose, it wasn't easy. And when we stretch into our purpose, when we carry our cross, it's not comfortable. But it's worth it. It's worth it. Turn to somebody and say, I'm ready to stretch. Don't say it if you don't mean it. I'm ready to stretch. You know, great athletes, before they play in the championships, they have to stretch. And I'm not just talking about stretch your muscles. They had to stretch themselves physically to the place of exhaustion, to the place of whatever their capacity was. And then the next time they went out there, they had to press themselves a little further, stretch themselves a little further. And God is doing the same thing with you and me. He's stretching us a little bit further because he wants to take us a little bit farther. Come on, say it. I'm ready to stretch. Exodus 2:1 tells us about the birth of Moses. 2:1 says, about this time, a man and a woman from the tribe of Levi got married. The woman became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She saw that it was a special baby and kept him hidden for 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she got a basket made of papyrus reeds and waterproofed it with tar and pitch. She put the baby in the basket and laid it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile River. The baby's sister then stood at a distance, watching to see what would happen to him. Soon Pharaoh's daughter came down to bathe in the river, and her attendants walked along the riverbank. When the princess saw the basket among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it for her. When the princess opened it, she saw the baby. The boy was crying, and she felt sorry for him. This must be one of the Hebrew children, she said. Then the baby's sister approached the princess. Should I go and find one of the Hebrew women to nurse this baby for you? She asked. Yes, do it, the princess replied. So the girl went and called the baby's mother. She said to the baby's mother, take this baby and nurse him for me. Can I tell you, when you get comfortable, when things get business as usual, and you say, you know what? I fought so many fights. Let me just stay where I'm at right now. Let me just coast a little bit. God will put somebody in your life to remind you of your identity. God's going to put somebody, and it might even agitate you because you're going to start to get comfortable where you're at. You're going to say, you know what? Why don't I just set up camp here? I can be fine. I can accept this. This is just enough for me. And that one person is going to say, no, but God called you for something greater. I thought you said that God promised you this. I thought you said that God prophesied that over you. They're going to get underneath your skin. They're going to remind you of your identity in God. You see, the enemy will offer you empty promises. Egypt for Moses, he was a prince among many princes. Pharaohs, the pharaohs of that day, they would have as many sons as they could. Moses would never be the heir. Moses would never be walking into his purpose in Egypt. All he had was an empty promise. All he had was just enough to keep him. Just enough honor, just enough riches to keep him put. That's what the enemy wants to give you. He give you just enough. Just enough to keep you put. But God's destiny is calling to you today. Will you respond? Will you respond? He has a dream that he's placed within you. And he's calling out your identity. He's calling out your identity. He's calling out your identity. Will you stand with me today? Join hands with somebody beside you. I don't think it's an accident that God has a word for us today from Exodus. God wants you to exit out of the place you've been and enter into the place that you're going. God wants to equip you with your identity. When we go, the government issues us a driver's license or some type of ID, some type of identity. Today, God wants to make sure that you're equipped with your identity, that you don't leave out of here without knowing who He's called you. The Bible says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you. Plans to give you hope. Plans to give you a future. You see, God has an identity for you. God has an identity for me. God has an identity for each and every person in this room. And we can't walk out of this place. We can't walk out of His presence without the identity that God is issuing. You know, that's of value, what the government can issue you. But the identity that God gives you. Your friends may issue you an identity. Your family may offer you an identity. But the greatest identity that exists is the identity that God issues you in the presence. God, I thank you, Father, for what you're doing tonight, today in our lives. I thank you, God, that you would just touch each and every person, Lord. I know that, Father, you're speaking so clearly. You're speaking so clearly right now. You're speaking so clearly right now because you don't want us to go out and assume a false identity, an identity that the world might put upon us or friends might put upon us or family members might be well-intending to try to put upon us. But, God, you want to put your identity on us, God. Because you've called us by name. You've called us your own. You've called us sons and daughters. Lord, as eyes are bowed and heads are bowed and eyes are closed right now, I thank you, Father, that you would just, Lord, touch each and every person. Reveal, Lord, your identity. The identity, God, that you've given. Lord, the identity that you've given. Father, I thank you that every false word would fall off. Every false word, every accusation, every wrong description, every time somebody's tried to put you in a box, in the name of Jesus, I speak that fall to the ground right now. I command that to fall to the ground right now. And I speak the identity of God be upon you.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Be sure to visit hopeunited.church for more exciting content.